You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Good Monday morning to you after the long weekend. Welcome back to work. Yeah, something that probably nobody felt like doing this morning, or not. Maybe you love your job, and maybe you, like me, but I woke up early, and then I fell back to sleep, and then I woke up again like 15 minutes ago. I kid you not. Yep. Huge news over the last night. Bill Moran tabbed to be the next Chief of Naval Operations. Resigned from the Navy. In a story that probably doesn't have everything that it should contain, because the story that I saw broke on NBC News, and that can't be the reason that he resigned as the Chief of Naval Operations, in my opinion. So the bad week that I would say started last week with the wrong side winning in the Gallagher court-martial. Continued in a huge way on Sunday night, or didn't go quietly. Sunday's actually, in spite of the way I have my calendar configured, Sunday's actually the first day of the week. That continues into the following week. In my opinion, that court-martial simply reinforced the notion that don't snitch. The truth doesn't matter. We can bring people that will, we can bring people that will testify against you. We'll contest what you say. We'll contest it everything, and we'll win. And I honestly, I just think it was a horrible outcome for the Navy, and people that try to tell the truth got sent a message. You try to tell the truth where this community's involved, and you don't cover down on, we don't cover down on each other, and you'll pay. We won't, because we'll cover down. And so I think that, I think it was a terrible outcome for not only the United States Navy SEALs. I thought it was a terrible outcome for the special operations community. And then certainly for the United States Navy. And it just showed, you don't fight City Hall, man. If we say it's yellow, guess what? It is yellow. Deal with it. And then this. So, the story, says that there continued an email relationship. Look, if everybody got run out of their job because they answered an email that somebody that did something wrong did, there would not be too many people working in Washington, D.C. Okay? There simply would not. So again, make of it what you will. But anyway, breaking news overnight. We'll talk about that. The original story, right? If you do a search in the news, the original story that I saw last night was broken by NBC News on Sunday night. So whoever leaked that, I mean, the story is a complete story too. It wasn't a bulletin. So all the classic trappings of, right, a choreographed event, leaked to the media, after it was found out, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Washington Post ran it 10 hours ago. The story that I saw, the first story that I saw on the news was NBC. NBC 13 hours ago, ABC 13 hours ago. The NBC story written by, let's see if we recognize any of the names. Let's see, written by Courtney Koob. Stand by. And these are both 13 hours old. Again, 13 hours old with with quotes, okay? So make of that what you will. Which is the way the, here's the ABC News story. Who wrote that? Written by Robert Burns, AP national security writer. Burns, he's a big deal. Four-star admiral. Set to become the Navy's top officer on August 1st. Already confirmed. If you remember, he got confirmed, but they didn't confirm the commandant of the Marine Corps. Will instead retire. An extraordinary downfall prompted by what Navy Secretary Richard Spencer called poor judgment regarding a professional relationship. The sudden move by Admiral William Moran, announced Sunday, may add to the perception of turmoil in the Pentagon's senior ranks, coming less than a month after Pat Shanahan abruptly withdrew consideration to be Defense Secretary after serving as acting Secretary of Defense for 6 months. Leaders of the Burns is, he's been around for a long time. He does good stuff. Leaders of the individual military services, both civilian and uniform, play less critical roles in national security than the defense secretary. and they are not in the military, in the chain of military command, but they're responsible for ensuring that the armed forces are trained, equipped, and prepared for combat and other roles. So, for those of you who don't know, most of you listening do, but they're not exactly in the chain, in the operational chain of command. Okay, what the Commandant of the Marine Corps is and the Chief of Naval Operations is that they are responsible for preparing the Marine Corps and the Navy to deploy for war. They manage a budget, they manage procurement, they manage training, all that. However, the way the chain of command works, right, is by combatant command. So CENTCOM, right, those guys are the operational chain of command. The story, Burns goes on. Moran had been vetted for promotion to the top uniform position in the Navy, nominated by President Trump, and confirmed by the Senate in May. Instead, in a written statement on Sunday evening, he told Spencer he had decided to decline the appointment and requested to be allowed to retire. As, quote, "As painful as it is to submit my request to retire, I will not be an impediment whatsoever to the important service that you and your families continue to render the nation every day," Moran wrote. Spencer said in his vision for the Navy includes, quote, "an urgent resolve by all to live up to high standards." Just for the record, Spencer was silent last week after the verdict. And which, you know, he has to be, right? I don't know that he can say anything. If you watched all the difficulties that the Navy has had as these things have come to court-martial. So is it, I don't even think the Secretary of the Navy can comment on anything like that until after it is fully adjudicated, lest it be, right, lest it be used in some other legal proceedings. Next quote. Admiral Bill Moran recently brought to my attention that over the past 2 years he maintained a professional relationship with an individual who was held accountable and counseled for failing to meet the standards and values of the naval profession, Spencer said in a written statement released on Sunday. Quote, "While I admire his faithful service and commitment to the Navy, this decision on his part to maintain that relationship has caused me to call his judgment into question. Therefore, today I accept Admiral Moran's request to retire." Senior Navy officials said that Spencer had learned of this relationship only after Moran's Senate confirmation in May. The officials spoke on a condition of anonymity to discuss sensitive details. But again, if everybody has to resign because, say, answered email with a friend they've had for, let's just say, 25 years since they were junior officers, but that person got in trouble and was, you know, was kicked out of the Navy. If everybody had to relinquish those relationships, there would be too many people left in the. That's why, to me, whatever the is, the is no there there, whatever the there is, and they're not talking about it. Spencer provided no more details about the unnamed individual, but other officials said Spencer was referring to Moran having recently taken public affairs counsel from Chris Cervello, who was removed from his position as public affairs officer to Richardson in 2017, to the current Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Richardson, in 2017, and given a non-punitive letter of reprimand for drinking and fraternizing with junior officers during and after a 2016 Navy Christmas party. Cervello was accused of making unwanted sexual passes while dressed as Santa. Come on, man. Unbelievable. While dressed as Santa at a party. No charges were filed against him. He retired from the Navy last May at the rank of commander, which is colonel, for those of you who don't speak Navy. Cervello had previously worked for Moran as a public affairs officer. In an interview on Sunday, Cervello said he was aware of Moran's decision to retire. Quote, "It's hard not to feel disappointment and disbelief," he said. "This is terrible news for the Navy, and beyond that, I don't have anything to add." Moran said his decision to decline the appointment and to instead retire was based on what he called an open investigation into the nature of some of my personal email correspondence over the past couple of years. He also cited Cervello's relationship without using his name. "To be clear," Moran added, "my decision to maintain this relationship was in no way an endorsement or tacit approval of the kind of misconduct that Cervello was disciplined for. I understand how toxic it can be to any team when inappropriate behavior goes unrecognized and unchecked. Every sailor is entitled to serve in an environment free of harassment and intimidation." With Moran's departure, Richardson will extend his tenure as Navy chief, and Spencer said he would recommend a new candidate for nomination by Trump and consideration by the Senate. Richardson's official retirement date is in September. Moran is a naval aviator by training. He's been serving as a deputy chief of naval operations, the number two uniform position in the Navy behind Richardson, and was nominated to succeed Richardson and was confirmed by the Senate in May. Wow. And then Burns goes on, he talks about the issues at the Pentagon. Moran's downfall adds to a unusually long list of leadership questions facing the Pentagon, which has been operating without a Senate-confirmed defense secretary since Jim Mattis resigned in December of 2018. There's been no confirmed deputy secretary of defense, and several other key leadership positions are about to turn over. Mark Esper, who's been the Army Secretary, is now acting as SecDef, but Trump has not yet sent his nomination to the Senate, though he said he would. General Joe Dunford is due to step down as chairman this fall. His intended successor is Army General Mark Milley, who is scheduled to testify at his own confirmation hearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee this coming Thursday. Also on Thursday, General David Berger is scheduled to take over as Commandant of the Marine Corps, succeeding General Robert Neller. Air Force General Paul Selva, the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, due to retire on 31 July. General John Hayten, H-Y-T-E-N, has been nominated to succeed Selva, but has not yet had a confirmation hearing. So, stunning news last night. So I guess the intrigue centers around this. Cervello is acts stupid at a 2016 Navy Christmas party. Now, again, if you can imagine this, right? At that rarefied level, whether he's drunk or whether this guy is stupid, I'm not exactly sure. But, right, showing your ass at that level, probably not a good thing. All right. So he gets accused of making sexual advances while he's in a Santa costume. He retired from the Navy last May. So is it May of 2019 or 2018? All right, so he's put out to pasture because of this. However, after being evidently shunned, Moran continued to seek his advice. Now, I haven't seen Moran's letter, so I've got to see if there's a statement by the CNO. But Burns quotes Moran, "To be clear, my decision to maintain this relationship was in no way an endorsement or tacit approval of the kind of misconduct that Cervello was disciplined for. So he's disciplined for something, and then you go and you seek his advice? This quote-unquote professional relationship. So it wasn't just simply a personal, hey, how's it going? How was golf? Yeah, I've known him for 30 years. I mean, I didn't, because he showed poor judgment, I didn't throw him out as my friend. We're not talking about that. I understand how toxic it can be to any team when inappropriate behavior goes unrecognized and unchecked. Every sailor is entitled. So anyway, stunning news late last night. The guy scheduled to be the leader of the United States Navy steps down, already confirmed by the Senate. After somehow or other this gets brought to light. So trust me, we'll keep our eye on it because this story isn't over being told. This story is not done being told. So let's see who writes here. There's an article in the Washington Post. Dan Lamoth writes it. How about that? Interesting. Already a subscriber? Sign in. I don't want to be a subscriber. Anyway, all right, so I'll figure out a way to hoodwink the system, and we'll find out what Dan Lamoth has to say. But honestly, it's pretty amazing. Ohio man made a big trip over the weekend. We have to find out how his trip to Shiloh and Franklin went. Did you say commander equals colonel? Lieutenant colonel, I'm sorry. Right, lieutenant commander equals major, commander equals lieutenant colonel, and captain equals colonel. Sorry. I just woke up. I'm sorry. I know there's no excuse for it, but yeah, I did say that. So thanks for fact checking me. You know, I have a whole series of people that fact check me. Yeah, and trust me, they are not. It's not like they have to look long and hard to send me an email. Anyway, good morning on this Monday of all Mondays. Yeah, if you left last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a grand 4 days off, and now back to work. So, good morning to you. What we'll do on the show today is. Oh, by the way, Iran continues to enrich its own uranium, which honestly you watch it and you know you keep your earplugs handy because that big boom you hear on the horizon. Oh, we got to talk about earthquakes too. I got to tell you that story. That boom you're going to hear on the horizon is going to be the Israelis getting after the Iranian uranium production. So stand by. And again, all the same to the Europeans. We're going to talk to Jennifer Carrazzo today. Jennifer is a Gold Star mother. She is the founder of the Sugar Bear Foundation, named after her husband, Mario Carrazzo, who was shot down in Afghanistan in 2010. I want to say May or June of 2010, right before we went there. And so you're going to hear an interesting interview. They have a virtual run coming up, which means you can do it anywhere, and then you just log in your miles and you make your contribution, and you're going to hear what they're doing. But we recorded the interview on Friday, so kind of an impromptu little thing breaks out about post-traumatic winning. Jennifer's she is a personification of it, about how, you know, the trauma of losing your spouse comes into your life. You don't know where it's going. And Jennifer, she would certainly, and she says, I mean, I would kill to have my husband back. But the work she's done has completely changed her life, and she lives a life of fulfillment post-trauma that she could have never imagined when it happened to her. So we're gonna talk to Jennifer this morning, and you're gonna hear about her and what they're doing, and you're gonna hear about, you know, her life a little bit. So you'll hear from her, and I would encourage you to participate in when I say virtual run. you can lie about it and say, yeah, I ran 20 miles, here's a donation, yada yada yada, or you could actually go out and do it. What I mean is, it's not going to take place in one exact location. Which is, you know, to me, the smart way of doing it. That way more people can participate. So, we'll talk to her this morning, and we'll continue to follow details of the, CNO elect, who abruptly resigned last night. And again, this is post his Senate hearing. It's not like, hey, people were digging around, they found this, blah, 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 blah. So, post his confirmation, what would somebody leak? What would somebody find out about after those people have already poured through your career? That is yet to be disclosed. That is yet to be disclosed. So, a very good Monday morning to you. We'll talk about earthquakes here in a little bit. And the United States Marine Corps Band makes this day official. Good morning to you. Dragging their ass into work today, like me. Good luck to you. Hopefully you don't have to do it in public. So, waking up at 7:50, actually 7:48, after I woke up at 3 and thrashed around till after, 6 o'clock? When you have the decision where you say, should I set my alarm again so I make sure I wake up, or I just go back to sleep, because you know I'll wake up, right? When you have that decision, let me tell you the wrong decision. Yeah, I'll wake up. It's not a problem. Don't do that. So to all you people that feel like that today, this is dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man. But I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather around Marineland. Currently in the nation's capital, clouds and 76. So cooled off a little bit. In Camp Lejeune, it is partly sunny and 83. Torrey Nine Palms cooled off as well. Sun and 79. In Camp Pendleton, it is cloudy and 65. Honolulu, Hawaii, the area that it Camp Smith kind of sort of is near. It is a dark cloudy and 79 degrees. Okinawa, dark cloudy and 80. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 106 right now. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, clear, and 98 degrees. At the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 65 degrees under cloudy skies. Looking for a high today of 72 today under partly sunny skies, 74 tomorrow, and 77 on Wednesday with sunny skies. That is a look at your weather. We'll come back and continue to explore the news. Naval Weapons Station's China Lake has been evacuated because of earthquakes. 200 National Guard troops sent there, so no looting ensues. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk in to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so.
I'm finally going to get to meet Peyton Davis. Yeah, in person. She's going to come be a part of the post-traumatic winning thing that I'll do in. Oh, no kidding. I said it was cooling off in the D.C. area. They're having flash floods. So I was technically correct. Yeah, let it all but they had two weather advisories, and the threshold is 3. So that's why I didn't. That's why I didn't check out their advisory. Now they have 3. Yeah, so Peyton Davis, she's going to come down and be a part of post-traumatic winning. There's a flash flood watch. Remember, watch, different from warning. Warning means it's real because of the R. Watch means the conditions are right. And there's special marine warning, obviously because of the rain in the area. And just so you know, all you people with allergies, there's a local pollen alert too. So if you're headed for D.C., bring a raincoat and your allergy medications, your breather. So got that going for you. The let's let me tell you about the other earthquake, right? So last week, there was an earthquake. I was sitting here. When the hell was the first one? Was it Thursday? It must have been, because we weren't on the air, right? So I was sitting here doing some work. And all of a sudden, I look up, and the picture of my grandmother is vibrating on the wall. And I'm like, oh. And I could feel the vibration, right? I could feel the house moving. And I don't know, it went on for between 15 and 30 seconds. It wasn't short, like, and end. And I have to tell you this, when that stuff happens, go to Twitter. It is, I mean, it's like comedy hour as people post their reactions to an earthquake, which is always stunning, right? And I've had this, you know, because I've grown up here and lived here much of my life. I've had, you know, you just living in California. Now, again, I say this, you know, you have people that are deathly afraid of earthquakes from the Midwest, and yet tornadoes roll through the Midwest and kill people every year. And not a small number of people. So I always find it amusing that they're so afraid of earthquakes. I'm like, yeah, they don't kill people generally, like, but everybody's terrified of them, right? So anyway, the first one, I'm sitting here and my grandmother's picture shorts start shaking. And, but the second one, so that was what, 6.4? Initially thought to be 6.6. Which that's a good size earthquake. For those of you who don't know, you get into sixes, that's serious business. Centered about 100 miles or so east of Bakersfield. Bakersfield in the southern part of the San Joaquin Valley. So if you go straight east, you hit kind of like the beginnings of the Sierra Nevadas. So the Sierra Nevada mountain range that separates California from Nevada. Runs along, you know, the eastern crest of California. Anyway, so, centered there. So, Saturday, I guess, I'm working out in my living room, and, I'm watching the Dodger-Padre game, because it was the only game that was on. So I'm watching it, and, I have the audios on, I'm working out, and, you know, the Padres have a pretty good baseball team. I'll say this, Manny Machado, he did not go to an empty cupboard. The Padres farm system has a lot of good young players in it, so it'll be interesting to see if they could pull that off, to be competitive. Because they have a shortstop by the name of Fernando Tatis, I think is his name, son of a big league player, and wow, he can play. He can play. So anyway, I'm watching that ball game, and all of a sudden, right, the center field camera, they're showing the shot from it, you know, guy's getting ready to throw a pitch, and all of a sudden, the camera starts shaking. And I'm watching it, I'm like, what the hell? You know, normally, they would switch to another camera if something's like going on with the platform or something like that, because people are stomping their feet and it's vibrating the camera. And all of a sudden, one of the announcers says, "Here we go again," and the camera keeps shaking. And I mean, it's not shaking a little bit; it's shaking a lot. And then they show the foul poles and you know, down the left and right field line, and the foul poles are swaying. And they didn't skip a pitch, kept playing. And I thought, well, hell, if it's like that at Dodger Stadium, it's gotta be affecting my house, but I didn't feel it. And I walk in the dining room and the chandelier swaying. I'm like, whoa! And so then, you know, you get on a little text chat with your family, and that's always funny. These are the first earthquakes Colleen's ever kind of been through since. And I was watching on the news the other day that this has been one of the longest periods in California history where California has not had an earthquake the magnitude of, you know, high sixes or sevens. And that run started in like 1999, so it certainly would have coincided with when after we all moved back out here and whatnot. So it's just interesting. That was funny. So earthquakes out here in California, but again, I think what the most interesting data point of all of it is that the state has a 7.0, right, earthquake, and there is no buildings fall over, no injuries are reported. That's interesting. From, I don't know if you're into architecture and things like that, but I mean, the modifications California has made to its building codes, which, you know, for buildings don't come cheaply, but when you can absorb a 7.0 earthquake without infrastructure damage, without buildings falling down, that's, come on, man. We read about that stuff around the world and shit gets flattened. So, so big weekend. I did a lot of cleaning too. So, you know, I was happy over the weekend if I'm cleaning, right? So, no, just cleaning, you know, the kind of cleaning that I normally never did, which is vacuuming, dusting around the house and stuff like that. Normally, I didn't do that. You know, my wife did that. So, a skill I've had to acquire. But I can tell you this. If you neglect it, if you don't do it, so I did that and did standard yard work over the weekend. My daughters wanted me to. I actually found this out about my daughters. I didn't know that. They've been to see every Marvel movie. Yeah, all the Marvel comic movies. They've seen them all. So they wanted me to go yesterday. I said I'm gonna. I really wanted to mow the lawn, and I wanted to. If I go to that movie, you know, I'm just gonna fall asleep in it, because that's what I do. So I said, how about this? What you really want, we'll go out to eat after you come back from the movie. They're like, all right, we're up for that. So we did that. And got a chance to talk to my nephew, who's a second lieutenant at the basic school. He's doing good. So shout out to Johnny Wagstaff. Keep up the good work. So getting ready to find out what he's going to be in the Marine Corps. And so good to talk to him. I'll give you an update. Let me see if I can share it. Shiloh. Outstanding visit. Many awesome monuments. This is Ohio man who went to the Shiloh battlefield. Took his son. Too many to attach here. Several recently erected. The Rangers were passionate in telling the story, and the video in the visitor center was first rate. Didn't know much at all about Shiloh and its significance previous to this. Well worth the trip. It's interesting. Recent, right? Recent recent monuments. Another email. Mac, those Marvel movies are gangbusters at the box office. There's a combination of people that like action movies and dorks that like comic books that's unstoppable. And they folded so many characters and they mix it about. Truly an incredible franchise if you haven't been paying attention. Well, color me that dude, man. I have not paid attention to the whole Marvel thing. Yeah, I haven't. And honestly, when my daughters told me that they'd seen all of them, I was like, "Are you kidding me?" They were not. They were not joking. So anyway, I was surprised. My youngest daughter, we went and saw Iron Man years ago, and that she was into it. I was like, well, I'll go see Iron Man. I mean, that was moderately entertaining. But you know what I don't, care for? Like the 40-minute battle scenes. Like, really? Can't we do this in like 10 minutes? Those things go forever. I get tired just watching them. Yeah, I think they need to dial that back. But I guess the dorks love that stuff, yay? I guess. I mean, if you're a dork, that's what you love. So, yeah, that was my life yesterday. All right. Let's talk about the news a little bit. So, I want to go through, see if there's any additional, we talked about Burns's, article, Courtney Coob writes, a U.S. official familiar with Moran's resignation said he resigned because of an association with retired Navy commander, Lieutenant Colonel Chris Cervello. Cervello worked for and with Moran several times over roughly a decade, with Moran serving as a mentor to Cervello. So, I mean, again, Cervello was investigated for his conduct at a Christmas party in 2016. No charges were filed against Cervello, but he was counseled for bad judgment and excessive drinking. Cervello, who was then working as the spokesman for CNO Admiral John Richardson, continued working at the Pentagon until he retired in the spring of this year. Oh, so Richardson sent him away. Moran maintained contact with Cervello during and after the investigation, including communicating with him on his personal email account. The investigation into Moran's ongoing conduct with Cervello was conducted by the DOD's Office of the Inspector General. Well, wait a minute. If he wasn't convicted, and so again, you know, he's not convicted of anything. So, what's the issue? The issue is that he worked for Richardson, Richardson sent him away professionally. So what were the emails about? If the emails were personal in nature, then that's fine. If they were professional in nature after he got sent away, that's probably inappropriate. It says that Moran maintained contact with Cervello. He wasn't even convicted of anything. He was just sent away. He continued to communicate with him on a personal email account. Does that mean that he was doing business with him? Because if he's doing business, probably not a wise move in terms of the Vito Corleone school of leadership, right? You send him away and I keep talking to him? Yeah, that's why I want to see what Lamoth has to say. So give me a second to see if I can ban Lamoth. Dan Lamont, The Washington Post. Are you a subscriber? No, I'm not. I just want to read this article, man. You guys are killing me. Maybe I can't. Maybe it's impossible. I think it is impossible. Anyway, so I guess the question is, what kind of contact did this guy have? Had to have been professional. Did he continue to seek public affairs advice from this guy after the CNO had sent him away? That would be, you know, there's lessons in the movie. You know, when I was up at Lake Tahoe last week, I mentioned that the scenes that were filmed, right? The wedding scene in Godfather 2, there. I'm not sure if it's Godfather 2. I think it is where Kay comes to see the kids, right, in Tahoe, and Michael shows up and shuts the door. And then Fredo gets smoked on the lake. That's, yeah, right there. So there's a lesson in this, and it's a Fredo lesson, right? Don't do those kind of things. You have to be respectful of the family, and if your boss sends somebody away, you consulting them on the down low, probably not the right thing to do. Although I can only surmise that based on the articles and what have been written. Actually, the USA Today, it's Courtney Kube. So, let's see. Tom Vandenberg writes for USA Today. USA Today has been seeking emails between Moran and former Navy spokesman who worked for Moran, retired Navy Commander Chris Cervello. Cervello and Richardson. Cervello and Richardson were rebuked by Navy officials after Cervello acted boorishly at an office party and Richardson was slow to discipline him. Oh, this gets into the who shot who of the Navy. The abrupt resignation follows Patrick Shanahan's above. The Freedom of Information Act request has not yet been filled, so the contents of the private emails exchanged by Moran and Cervello are unclear. However, official Navy business must be conducted on government accounts. Cervello allegedly made sexual advances in a predatory way towards subordinate officers. Now, Richardson, this goes back, here's an article written by the same guy, Tom Vandenbrook. This is published on October 12th, 2018. The Navy's top officer was rebuked on Friday over his mishandling of a case involving the misconduct of an aide at a boozy Christmas party inside the Pentagon, and that officer's predatory behavior towards junior subordinate female officers. The inspector, the Pentagon's IG, admonished Admiral John Richardson, the CNO, for the failure to discipline his spokesman, Commander Chris Cervello, in a timely way. The investigation stemmed from an office party, blah, 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 blah. Dressed as Santa, slapped a civilian woman's buttocks. Later, at an after party, Cervello allegedly made sexual advances in a predatory way towards a subordinate officer. The incidents and the failure to act were detailed in a USA Today investigation earlier this year. The report released Friday morning said Richardson acknowledged that he should have acted sooner to handle the case and has put policies in place to prevent a reoccurrence. The IG found Richardson's actions did not amount to official misconduct, but called on the Navy Secretary to review his performance. We believe that Admiral Richardson's failure to ensure that Cervello was removed from his personal staff in an expeditious manner for 4 months after he decided to reassign him and take administrative action against him, which is the punitive letter of caution, I think, sent the wrong message about how seriously Admiral Richardson took the allegations of sexual harassment. We agree with Admiral Richardson that he should have acted more expeditiously. Richardson said he followed the advice of his lawyers in handling Cervello's case to protect Cervello and those who had accused him of assault and harassment. Cervello continues to work as a public affairs officer and has been tasked with helping upgrade the DOD's website. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a New York Democrat, member of the Senate Armed Service Committee, petitioned Fine, what's Fine's first name? He's a DOD guy, to conduct an investigation. Cervello expressed regret for his poor judgment, but noted that his career has been damaged. So anyway, it dredges up, right? It dredges up all this. Gillibrand, in a statement, said that the contents of the IG report were deeply concerning and said it reflects a culture that still does not take military sexual assault or harassment seriously. She said that the case was, quote, just the latest example of how at the highest levels of the chain of command have failed to administer military justice in a fair, timely, and transparent manner. It sends a horrible message to survivors and perpetuates a culture of sexual harassment and assault. Richardson responded, I have become acutely aware that his slow movement on the issue may have sent a bad message, particularly to the survivors of the behavior. So my radar has been completely retuned in terms of sensitivity to that message. I hope that we've arrived at a good place at the end of the event. It took longer in hindsight than it should have, and if I were to do it again, I would move faster. Honestly, now that's 2018, right? So you would think that Admiral Richardson, I mean, given the visibility of sexual harassment in the military culture, now, honestly, on any given day, I would tell you that two-thirds of the stories that appear in military publications around the world are about social issues. They're not about the hard news about the military, where they are, what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. It's sexual assault here, sexual assault there, whatever social media story is blowing up that on that given day. So, yeah. So it's amazing that he would, you know, hey, man, there's some things I can save you from. And the guy's a lieutenant colonel, for God's sakes. It's not like he's a baller on his staff. It's been around for 30 years, because he hadn't. So, that in the news today. Let me see what Stars and Stripes. Stars and Stripes normally, when these things happen, they have their own set of reporters that normally do pretty good. Who wrote this story? Robert Burns. This is the Associated Press story, so they just ran that story. So, Stars and Stripes, they got nothing today. All right. Other headlines, and then we'll go ahead and you're going to hear from the founder of the Sugar Bear Foundation, Jennifer Carrazzo, and they've got a run coming up. You can do it at home, and then just sign up and submit your numbers and your donation, and you're going to hear what they do and why, and you're going to hear from her journey. and what they do and how they'll use the money. And I'll tell you, she's an amazing woman, and she's done incredible things with that foundation. And so very, very happy to finally meet her down at Camp Pendleton at the Marine South Expo. They sponsored one of the social events, so it was great to finally meet Jennifer. Let's see. Other headlines. Ukraine seeks weapons through the Pentagon foreign sales program for the first time. So, the Ukraine, they're not going away. Number two, Germany rebuffs U.S. request for ground troops in Syria. Well, there's a shocker, right? here's another one. Lecturer at the U.S.-aided Afghan university arrested, accused of recruiting for ISIS. Come on. Of course. And the U.S. and Australia are kicking off a huge military exercise that will last a month down under. Now, interestingly enough, Australia is being called out by allies for not doing enough, in the South China Sea and in the region. So yeah, that's kind of an interesting little sub-headline out of all this. I mentioned China Lake being evacuated. For those of us that have been there, it's out in the Nevada desert, right? The evacuation of non-mission essential active duty military reservists, civilian employees, and authorized dependents from Naval Air Station China Lake was authorized by Navy Region Southwest following three major earthquakes in 2 days, according to the base social media accounts. The Southern California-based base experienced a 5.0 magnitude earthquake at 8:16 on Friday, followed by a 7.1 magnitude earthquake 3 minutes later, as well as multiple aftershocks. China Lake had already closed since the 6.4 magnitude earthquake and numerous aftershocks that rocked that area on Thursday. No casualties reported. The picture shows a crack in all the way through asphalt. And so they have it, China Lake evacuated. But again, with all the different military facilities in Southern California and Southern Nevada, that's not so much, my friends. That's not so much. Marine Corps headlines. A story about some very sacred memorials, and I say that in all seriousness. The story is entitled "What Makes a War Memorial." Marines upset over removal of beer cans around Camp Pendleton's Horno crosses. You know, this is a story that goes back to the war in Iraq, and the first cross was drug up to the mountains above the 1st Marine Regiment in 2003. And that cross was burned in a fire that went through Pendleton. But it's a place that only Marines go. Most people can't see it. They would never know it's there. There was a group that then sued to get the crosses to be brought down. I don't even know what's going on with that lawsuit, although I'm sure we'll hear about it this week after this. But it was a place, it's kind of a sacred place. And what went on up there was when units came home from deployments, they would hump up to those crosses and they would take mementos of their friends that had been killed, and they would have a very, very personal memorial service. And they would put things up there. And so if you go to Marine Corps Times and you click on the article, you'll see a picture of it, and you'll see a picture of a unit that's up there, either on a hike or some kind of motivational run. And the Horno crosses are on up on the shelf, so on that ridgeline. And so you go up there, so well, what is it? Well, people take rocks, right, and they'll write a message on the rock. They'll take medals. They'll go up there on their own. They'll take a bottle of Jack Daniels, and they'll sit up there with their friends. They'll take DVDs. They'll take their own little smaller crosses. They'll take uniform items. I mean, everything in the world is up there. But there's a lot of beer cans, and there's a lot of alcohol bottles. But again, it was not designed to be something that, it was only designed to be for us. The people that have served in those units as a very, very personal tribute to our friends that nobody else would ever see. And so you go up there and you see all kinds of personal stuff. I mean, you see Purple Hearts up there, medals, right? You see racks of ribbons and whatnot. You just, things that people did with their friends, they take up there and they leave up there and they spend time with them up there. Anyway, officials at Camp Pendleton decided to clean up the unopened beer cans around those crosses. Now, unopened beer cans, that's the question. So those are things that guys take up there and girls take up there and leave, right, for those that are fallen. So, unopened beer cans, right? The crosses, right, are in the vicinity of Camp Horno. And there's stories behind it. Initially drug up there by I believe he was an All-American wrestler, but Ed Mendoza, an infantry officer that was killed in 2006, if I'm not mistaken, he and other Marines drug the first cross up there and put it up there, right? Some Marines argue that what was cleaned up, full cans and bottles of alcohol, were not trash, but mementos left by fallen Marines over the years. That's not an argument. That's a fact. First Lieutenant Cameron Edinburgh of the 1st Marine Division told Marine Corps Times that the area is cleansed from time to time to ensure it is kept in a respectful condition and that mementos of personal nature were left at the crosses. Nearly 8 Humvees worth of trash, which filled an entire dumpsters, was removed from the Horno Cross area. A posting to social media called for Marines' opinions on the cleanup effort, noting that nearly 30 bags of cans and bottles had significant meaning behind being placed there. A former Scout Sniper in 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines, Ethan Pace, told Marine Corps Times that he understands both sides of the issue, but the Corps should be careful about removing all the cans and beer from the area. Pace said, hopefully it's handled in a professional manner. Another Marine who spoke to Marine Corps Times on a condition of anonymity, and let me tell you why. This is not a nonsensical issue to those that have fought and those who have gone up there and spent any time there. It's an important, sacred. It's the only thing I could liken it to. I've been watching Ken Burns's. I've been watching his series, The West. And, you know, almost like the reverence that Native Americans tribes held for places like the Black Hills. Well, these make those places sacred. Because there's things up there that you simply don't see. You would never see them in a cemetery. So it's our place, right? Nobody else's place. It belongs to us. And so why would somebody insist that their name not be used? That's why, because, you know, there would be such a backlash on social media that you probably wouldn't want to subject yourself to. But anyway, a Marine who spoke on a condition of anonymity said he understood both sides of the argument and that the Horno Cross area was starting to look trashy. Edinburgh said the crosses in the Camp Horno area of Camp Pendleton provided an invaluable space for Marines to reflect on the sacrifice of their fallen brothers and sisters. The hilltop surrounding the crosses was recently cleared of trash to ensure the area is kept in a respectful condition so that we can continue to properly honor the Marines for which the memorial stands. I mentioned Ray Mendoza, right? He was a company commander of Echo Company 2-1. He was killed by an IED in Iraq in November of 2005. I never met Ray. I know people that know him. And the only thing you ever heard was great stories about what a great leader he was, what a great guy he was. And his wife, Karen, was part of, after the cross had burned, putting up a second cross in 2007. She's quoted in the article that the crosses are a place for Marines to grieve and to grow, to let go of their buddies and what they have in their soul so they can go back down that hill and back into battle and put their own lives on the line. Yeah, if you've ever been up there, it takes your breath away when you go up there. No, it's nobody goes up there about us, but you're not going to leave there, with a dry eye. I can promise you that. It's just, you'll see framed letters up there. You'll see pictures, tons of pictures up there, tons of awards, just, all kinds of very, very, very personal stuff. So, anyway, that in the news. And again, you see that article and you're like, uh-oh. Because it's a sensitive issue for the Marine Corps. Let me just wrap up the news here. The U.S. envoy hails the latest talks with the Taliban as the best ever. Now, again, I wince when I see these stories because what are we going to agree to get our asses out of Afghanistan, right? He declined to give any details on a talk, so what does that mean? Another story. Iraqi forces begin operation against ISIS along the Syrian border. So again, what is this? Are we mopping up now? I thought they were completely destroyed. So operations continue. Now, destroyed, what does that mean? They've gone to another place. Although Iraq declared victory against ISIS in July of 2017, the extremists have turned into an insurgency, have carried out deadly attacks in the country. Iraq's security and paramilitary forces on Sunday began a military operation along the Syrian border aimed at clearing that area of the Islamic State. Now let me find out exactly where it is. It said the operation will last several days and was the first phase of the Will to Victory operation, securing the western province of Al-Anbar and the central and northern regions of Salahuddin and Nineveh province. Anyway, so I would describe that as mopping up. They don't describe any cities. I guess they're looking at clusters of activity that you find and targeting them and getting after them. Top five stories in Early Bird, number one, Admiral Bill Moran out as Navy's next CNO. That according to Navy Times. Navy Times, the article written by Jeff Zulowitz, who is a respected writer when it comes to the Navy. I just want to see if he has anything more about what happened and why this was, the nature of those communications, right? So the story is that it happens, Richardson's slow, Richardson gets wired brushed, Cervello, it takes 4 months. I mean, he could be out of the office the next day. You grab your shit and leave. The only way he stays there is if the CNO, Richardson, allows him to stay here. Why is that guy still there? He can't be here. He decides to remove him in April, right? The event happened in December. But he doesn't actually act until August, right? Come on, that's like 9 months later. Days after journalists began requesting documents tied to the allegations. There you go. So he lays out exactly what happened. But he doesn't provide any... So what exactly, it wasn't a personal relationship, so was he taking public affairs advice from this guy after the CNO had sent him away? Anyway, we'll find out, trust me. USA Today has a Freedom of Information Act to try to get their hands on the emails, and we'll see. Two, no grunts under 26, $250,000 bonuses, the DOD's most radical ideas to transform the infantry. Yeah, how about grunts getting some of that big time bonus money that we only see pilots get? What would it take to transform the U.S. infantry into a higher caliber force modeled after the elite 75th Ranger Regiment? For starters, find recruits in their mid-20s, offer them $250,000 and a $60,000 a year salary. That's part of the working concept officials from the Pentagon's Close Combat Lethality Task Force have been turning over for the past year in efforts to take Army and Marine infantry to a higher level of lethality. I know some people involved in this. So we'll take a look at that. Number three. What makes a war memorial? The article about the Horn of Crosses. Number four, will troops be able to use the meal card benefit outside the base dining facility? What? This is the Military Times. This is unbelievable. can you imagine if you could go to local eating establishments and use your meal card? Soldiers and airmen at several installations will soon start testing a new program that allows them to use their meal card entitlement to buy food at base location outside the dining facilities. The expanded choices will be limited to healthy foods. The test bases haven't been named yet, but will include the Air Force Academy, a joint base, and a mix of up to five other Army and Air Force installations, said Charles Milam, a former acting deputy assistant defense secretary for military community and family policy, who has been working on the issue for years. So you can't go out and use it at Burger King. You can use it at other healthy, I guess, eating establishments on base. A few good tweets. Congressman thanks fictional Marine for his service, retweets account calling him a white supremacist. This is from Steve King, who's a Republican from Iowa, Representative Steve King, could not, in fact, handle the truth. So he quotes Jack Nicholson, right? Which is a great quote. Not only did he extend a good old-fashioned thank you for your service to a fictional Marine colonel immortalized by Jack Nicholson in the 1992 movie A Few Good Men, but he did so by sharing a tweet from an account bearing a particularly damning name. King was duped into praising Colonel Nathan Jessup when prompted by Ken Klippenstein, a staffer with the congressional media outlet Young Turks. Klippenstein sent the same tweet to a number of other conservative personalities with significantly less trolling success. Sir, could I please get a retweet for my uncle, Colonel Nathan Jessup? He's a Marine. He's in the Marines and spending the fourth overseas keeping our nations safe, Klippenstein wrote in a tweet accompanied by a photo of Jack Nicholson in his famous courtroom scene. Brimming with the type of patriotism unique to the 4th of July, the congressman eagerly responded, Colonel Jessup and all your Marines, God bless you all, King wrote. You have our back and millions of us have yours. God bless America and all her warriors defending liberty! Shortly after King took the bait, Klippenstein changed the name on the account to Steve King is a white supremacist, which then sat on the congressman's timeline prior to the eventual deletion. Wow. Although the congressman from Iowa eventually managed to catch up Montana man, he's got something to say. Oh. I was on that deployment with the 13th MU when Mendoza got killed. Well, what were you doing, Montana man? That would have been 2005. Oh, he had been being a... Is that when you were being a special liaison guy? Yeah, he was killed in... I thought I just read it. Again, I didn't know Ray Mendoza, and I don't know that I put him through IOC, but I knew other people that knew him, and all they did was they said great stuff about the guy. And that his company was devastated when they lost him. He was one of those bigger-than-life guys. Let's see, back to the tweet. The tweet had already undergone the immortalization process of being archived and screen grabbed, resulting in an onslaught of internet witticisms, as is the custom. And they, down below, it says, Steve King, don't forget to honor the bravery of U.S. naval hero, Captain Crunch. Steve King, can I get a shout-out to my uncle, Sergeant Slaughter, serving overseas on the 4th of July, with a picture of the wrestler, Sergeant Slaughter. My God. There you have it. There you have it. Trying to be a nice guy, giving a shout out to somebody, and there's some jackass that's behind the whole thing. So the biggest things operationally going on is, one, Iran raises their enrichment, their uranium enrichment beyond nuclear deal limits. Two, U.S. envoy hails latest talks with the Taliban. That makes me wince. Three, Iraqi forces begin operations against ISIS along the Syrian border. That's a good thing. And number four, Gibraltar detains a supertanker filled with Iranian oil. What? Gibraltar? They're going to get involved in this? Authorities in Gibraltar said they intercepted last Thursday an Iranian supertanker believed to be breaching European Union sanctions by carrying a shipment of Tehran's crude oil to war-savage Syria. That's the cash money that we talk about. North Korea does the same thing, right? The EU and others have imposed sanctions on Assad's government over its continued crackdown against civilians. It's amazing to see, though, that somebody actually enforced it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Jennifer Carrazzo is going to join the program. You're going to hear from Jennifer as we continue on a Monday that feels like 100 Mondays. So, the Monday after a 4.5-day weekend. Ugh. More about Allmern Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help. I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.